You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Good morning. It feels like when we started Jubilee 20 years ago. A few people, Sam leading worship as a little kid, but it's good to be here. I think God is going to speak to people this morning. And as I've sort of been preparing and praying and thinking about it, I just felt the Lord say, just let the passage speak. So I want to read the passage, and then it could be that you have a doze or something, I don't know. Because the passage is going to speak to you, hopefully, this morning. I'm going to hopefully add a bit to that. Well, not add to it, try and explain it or unpack it a little bit more. But the passage is from Matthew chapter 14, if you've got a Bible or an app. And it's not a story that's like an ancient story. It's a story that can be just as alive today. And so I want us to have ears to hear what it means for us today, not just think of it as a story from hundreds of years ago. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 14, just starting from verse 22. Immediately, just to set the context, Jesus had just had his friend, John the Baptist, beheaded. He'd not been going through a good time. You know that story possibly. If not, you can read it earlier in chapter 14. And then immediately after that, he's fed the 5,000. And it's been a busy time for the disciples and for him. And they had fed them all, distributed all the food. And then after that, it says this: immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismiss the crowd. I mean, that just makes you laugh, doesn't it? Just to start with, all the disciples, you know, wimping out a little bit. Oh, we've been working all day. He says, well, you go off and go to the other side. I'll dismiss the crowd. And then after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. God, doesn't that make echoes with our beginning of the year module on prayer, our module on solitude? Jesus did all this stuff, didn't he? Sorry, I'm getting distracted. After he dismissed them, he went up the mountain side by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that this passage would speak to us today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak through it. May I not get in the way, Lord, but may, as we unpack it together, we hear your word for us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful story, isn't it? Have you ever had a moment in life where you felt like you were rowing hard as you could and still getting nowhere? Or is that just me? Actually, that's the majority of you. You're not quite sinking, but you're not much moving either. You're working, you're trying, but life just seems to be pushing back on you. And some of you, I think, and many of you might well be right there, right now. You're worrying in your job or in your parenting or in your faith. And you know what? Sometimes it can just be tiring, can't it? You're just tired. Some might be even just bored and needing a new adventure, needing to make new steps of faith. And then others, you're not just worrying. You're aware of you're in a storm. You're facing something you didn't choose and you can't control, a crisis you don't know how to handle, serious illness, problems at work, losing a job, all sorts of things. And here's what this I want to say, and this passage, I think, says to us today, is whether we're barely holding on steady or we're being battered by the waves, Jesus sees you. And he's moving towards you. And he says, come. In this passage, it's like there's five scenes, I think. And scene one is this scene of rowing against resistance. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the lake. They're doing what Jesus asked. And they're struggling. Why? Well, the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, it says, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. The wind was against them. This wasn't like a sudden violent storm like there'd been before when Jesus was asleep in the boat, if you know that story. This is a slightly different picture of just resistance. A long night straining at the oars. And they were being buffeted, wave after wave, buffeting the boat. It was just hard work through the night, in the darkness. But for some of them, it may have felt like a crisis. It's hard to tell sometimes, isn't it, when exhaustion ends and fear begins when you're at sea. Maybe that's you now. You're rowing at work, in your marriage, and private battle with anxiety or depression. It's not dramatic to anybody else, but it's exhausting for you. And you know where you're at with that. For you, the crisis is dramatic. Diagnosis, betrayal, all sorts of things happen in life, don't they? You're not just rowing, you're just trying not to go under. Well, this passage speaks to you. And it's an amazing thing that Jesus comes to both kinds of people in the boat. He comes. Scene two, Jesus walks on what is holding you back. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. The waves that had resisted the disciples, the wind that resisted the disciples, the waves that have made them tired and frustrated, afraid, those waves are under Jesus' feet as he walks on the sea water. What exhausts them doesn't intimidate him. There are so many things that try and hold us back, aren't there, and buffet us in life. There's just so many things. There's so many things that try and stop our advance, shrink our faith. I was saying to Rick this week that on my sabbatical, I got into some wonderful rhythms of prayer and fasting and solitude. I could tell they were doing me really good. It was wonderful. It was a joy. It was like the whole of the rest of my life is going to be like this. And then I stopped my sabbatical. And wave after wave after wave started buffeting so quickly, got out of good habits that I'd got into. I wonder what holds you back? What waves are buffeting on you? Is it busyness, lifestyle, Zoom scrolling? Not Zoom, Doom. I've written Zoom here. Zoom scrolling. That was at a prayer week where we just flipped over the things. Zoom Zoom scrolling or Doom scrolling. Maybe it's staying in your comfort zone. You're just worrying, just going through the motions. Could be self-limiting thoughts. It's always like this. I always get it wrong. I don't fit. I can't help losing my temper. I'm not as spiritual as. Wave after wave of little tapes play in our mind and can hold us back. But Jesus has the power to walk on those waves. That's the truth. That's what this story tells us about. Scene 3. They don't recognize him at first. When the disciples saw him, I love this. They were terrified. He's a ghost! I don't know if they even believed in ghosts, but they thought he was a ghost. And isn't that what we're like sometimes? We cry out to God, but then God shows up in a way we don't expect, and so we doubt. We don't recognize him in the night when we're being buffeted. In the middle of our fatigue, in the midst of pain, we just don't notice him. We think it's a ghost. But I love this, and this is what I want you to go away with today, hearing. Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And maybe for some people that's all you need to hear today. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. You don't have to understand everything. You just need to hear the voice of Jesus saying, it's me. I'm here. Don't be afraid. That's what he's saying today. As much as he did 2,000 years ago. It's me, I'm here, don't be afraid. Scene 4. The invitation to come. Peter, the impulsive, brave, beautifully flawed Peter, such an encouragement to us who are flawed. For you perfect people, he might not resonate so much, but he's a flawed guy. And he's the one that says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. There's a whole boat full, but it's Peter who says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus answers with one word, come. One word. You can leave and say, Sean just preached one word, come. And it wouldn't be so far off. Not come when the sea's calm. Not come once you've got your life together. Not come once you've rested. Just come. Come in the middle of the exhaustion, right in the middle of resistance. Come even if you're scared. He just says, come. And that's what he says today. Come. And Peter does come. He takes a risk and climbs out of the boat. It is a risk, isn't it? Jesus says, come. I'm going to step out this boat then. He can see Jesus walking on the water. He loses his grip on the oars that he was using to battle against the waves. Let's go of that little control he had And he puts both feet on the impossible. And for a while, he walks with him. He walks in faith with him. What a moment. God's calling some this week to make that step into the impossible, to make that step of faith, that step into the unknown. We named 2015 the year of faith, for nothing is impossible for God. What a rallying call. How did I get to 15? It's because I feel I'm 10 years younger than I am. That's what it is.
Or revealing a worry.
It could be. I've sent my birth certificate back to get it checked in case there was a clerical error. Who knows? It might come back. I'm 10 years younger. Anyway, I think 2025 is the year of faith. And we want to stir faith amongst us, don't we? Faith's not just like a theological idea. Faith is a living, active, risk-taking, daily walking, mountain-moving thing. It's an alive thing. We're not called to just drift from month to month. We're called to walk step by step in faith. Not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Rick Warren says this. He says, faith is facing the future without knowing what it holds, but knowing who holds it. Let me read that again. Faith is facing the future without knowing what it holds, but knowing who holds it. See, faith isn't wishful thinking. It's not like a passive optimism. It's a trusting obedience. Faith doesn't like ignore the reality. It reframes it with a focus on Jesus. And we've wanted to stir faith for big things in 2025. And I remember just talking with Sarah about the young people, even a couple of years ago, where we felt a stirring of faith for the young people and felt God saying he was going to increase. And we've seen it. Faith was something that's worked itself out, hasn't it? Talking to Yvain, I don't know if she's out with Blaze. And I just sense faith in her heart to reach out to the Den families. And two-thirds now aren't in Jubilee. 38 came to the woods. We're seeing the impact of that faith that she had on the Refresh Cafe. I got faith to start this. It's a joy to see, hear the stories, the little testimonies, the things that people are saying. Hay had faith for Spring Away this year and for Jabal. And it's wonderful to have powerful stories of God at work in those things. Those ministries. We had faith to press on with WCC Refurb and the pods and Transforming Lives for Good and Growing Hope. And as I look around the church, I just see a room full of people where I can see countless stories of faith, steps of faith. And it thrills me. I think that's really my job, to work out where the faith is, where those steps of faith are. Because we want this year to be a year of faith. Why? Because Jesus says, come. It's why I've got great faith for next term as well. Stepping out into a new term. Believing faith is rising amongst us. And especially that God is going to add to us those who are being saved. In fact, I believe we're going to see more people turn to follow Jesus this Christmas than in the last 30 years that I've lived in Farnham. because God's on the move. Nicky Gumbel, the most well-known evangelist of our time, we asked, would you come to Farnham to speak at our carol service? And God told him, come to Farnham. That is like a big deal. And I'm believing that as a result of it, we're going to see people make that step of faith. So I'm believing for more people to come to faith this autumn than I've seen in 30 years. Amen. Are you with me in it? Because we've got to pray and stir faith and to seek God because he says, come. It's why we've wanted to dig deep into the spiritual habits of prayer and fasting and solitude and Sabbath, because it's important that we are rooted in Jesus as we go about this. Because if this room is doubled with people who aren't saved, you know, you've got to disciple them. And you've got to show them how to pray, how to fast, how to do solitude well, how to read the scriptures we're looking at in the autumn. Because we approach those things not like in a ritualistic way, but in a faith-soaked way, don't we? We come to learn about prayer because we have faith to do it. We want to fast because we've got faith for it, not because Rick's told us to do it or John Mark Comer has told us to do it. We want to do it because we've got faith for it, that it's going to do something for us. Why? Because Jesus said, come. And he's saying, come, right now. Scene 5. Fear, failure, and the hand of Jesus. This is the final scene of the story, and we've got stuff to learn from it, you know. Having made that step of the impossible, Peter then notices the waves and the wind, and he starts to sink. You feel for him, don't you? How on earth have I got myself into this situation, he's probably thinking. And he shouts out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I am sinking. What was I thinking to get out of this boat? And you know what? Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. Jesus doesn't let Peter drown in his doubt. He doesn't rebuke him for trying. He just reaches out and says, why did you doubt? Because I said, come. It's so important, isn't it? When we step out in faith and fail, Jesus doesn't let go. And sometimes we do step out and things don't go as we anticipate. But you know what? Even in that moment, we have a Savior who reaches out and grabs us and doesn't let us go. So what does this mean to us? Just what can we get from this story? A lot of it is that we can so easily focus on the wrong things, can't we? We're out in our boat, grasping our oars, trying to row against the wind. It can seem like it's getting dark, and everything seems worse in the dark, doesn't it? But as John Ortberg says in the title of his great book, if you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. It's a great book. It's just worn out because I've read it so many times. If you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. So what's getting out of the boat for you today? I'll tell you what, you going to New Day, this is a week of making steps out of the boat for you guys? What will it look like for you to step out the boat towards Jesus this week? Is it praying out loud for the first time? Talking to a different friendship group? Talking to somebody you don't know? And what would it look like if you are feeling like you're sinking at the moment for Jesus to reach out to you? Maybe you're feeling anxious or worried that you're feeling different or feeling nobody gets you. Narratives that often young people can have going on. Well, this is a story for you because it's about a story that Jesus wants to be with you. And his word to you this week as you go to New Day, and for the leaders, I guess, is come. Come to me. And you're going to find him. And you're going to make steps of faith this week that could shape the rest of your life. So you're going to have fun, but I tell you what, it could change the rest of your life. Because this story is speaking to you as well. So what is the Spirit saying to you this morning through this message? If it's alive and active, what's he saying? Hayley and I were listening to a podcast this week. Well, Hayley was listening to it and she told me about it, actually. I've listened to some of them. And one of them was on preaching that she listened to and I hadn't listened to. And you're probably thinking he should have listened to it. But Hayley said to me, I think what they said was, what does it make you feel? What does it make you think? And what does it make you do? And I don't know whether you're rowing, whether you're sinking, whether you're barely holding on. But I want to say Jesus sees you today. He wants you to know that he sees you in your dark place, in your tired place. If you feel you're sinking, if you feel you made a step of faith and it's all going wrong and you're failing, he sees you today. And he's not far from the shore, not seeing you from a distance, but he is coming to you today. So you're not alone in your exhaustion, you're not abandoned in your crisis, because Jesus sees you where you are, and he comes to you. What can it make us think then? It makes us think, makes me think, what am I holding on to? What are the oars I'm holding on to that's stopping me from getting out the boat? What are the things I'm using to try and keep control? Is it my plans? My busyness, my performance, what is it? Where might be Jesus saying to me, you've rowed long enough, come and walk with me? He might be saying that to you. And what can we do? What does stepping out of the boat look like for you today? Maybe it's a hard conversation with somebody. Maybe it's joining a group when you'd rather hide. Or praying again after a disappointment. So hard to pray. Or asking for help instead of just trying to handle it all yourself. It may feel small, but every act of trust is like a step on the water. That's what he's saying to us today. So you might feel you're rowing hard. You might be in a crisis. Jesus might not just be waiting for you on the other side, but he's walking to you right now. And I think that's what I want us to have in our mind as we come to the communion table. Because he says to each one of us today, take courage. it is I. Don't be afraid. Come to me. Do you believe it? It's in the Word, and we believe the Word. So we come with our fear, we come with our doubt, we come with our tired arms and trembling heart, because even when we fail, we know He's going to catch us. And even if we feel like we're going nowhere, the moment we step towards Him, we're exactly where we need to be. Amen?
Amen?
Lord, I pray that this passage would speak to us. Lord, as I've been speaking, I pray that those little quickenings in people's hearts would be grasped hold of. Those little tapes that might be playing, thoughts about the waves buffeting, Lord, we ask that You would speak. Holy Spirit, I pray, come on us and use Your Word to speak to us now. We want to be a people of faith. We want to be a people who are willing to step into the impossible, no matter how strange it may seem. We want to be a people who are courageous, not because of our own abilities, but because we're walking towards You. Our eyes are fixed on You. We don't want to be a people who are just focused on the waves. We want to be those who keep our eyes focused on You, who keep looking to You and keep making those steps of faith. So I want to pray, Father, for those who are in the boat, fearful of getting out. I pray, Lord, may they feel courageous to step out. For those, Lord, who have made those first steps but feel they're sinking, I pray, Lord, may they know Your hand grasping them, lifting them. And Father, I pray that we would all have eyes focused on You, not on the waves that are buffeting us. I pray You would bless us. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and the waves, he began to sink. And so I want us, as we come to break bread now, to lift our eyes to Him who came from heaven to be with us, who humbled Himself even unto death on a cross, who gave Himself for us, who took the bread at that Last Supper and said, "This represents My body, which is given for you, broken for you." And He took the wine and He said, "This is My blood given for you." He did those things so that we really understood who Jesus was, the same Jesus who says, "Come. Right this minute." Therefore, God, who had exalted Him to the highest place as a result of His death and resurrection, gave Him a name that's above every name, that at every name, Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue would acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, it says in Philippians. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This is the Jesus who we walk towards. And as you walk from where you're sitting to take the bread and the wine this morning, may they be steps of faith where you say, Lord, I'm going for this. I'm going to make this step of faith. I'm going to trust you. Whatever it is, as you're making steps, even as you're physically feeling your feet on the floor, they're steps of faith towards the one who gave everything for us. Amen? I think Sam's going to sing us a song as we do that. Just a simple refrain from centuries ago. Just turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look him in the face. And make those steps of faith now as we come and break bread. And then we're going to worship together. Amen.
Stand and sing that together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth that grow strange. In the light of his glory.